This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. I Don't Do Boxes is a new magazine in Greensboro that gives voice to LGBTQ experiences all across the Southeast. The magazine explores those experiences through a wide range of stories and artwork produced by young creators. Each issue is edited and curated by an editorial team of queer-identifying youth in North Carolina. And a few of the writers and editors join us here in Greensboro. Ben Fisher is the editor of the magazine. He's with us today. Hello, Ben.
Thank you.
Guido Viabla-Portel and Babette Yaga are also part of the editorial staff and contributing writers. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And also joining us to talk about the magazine is George Scheer, co-founder and director of Elsewhere, a museum and workspace that is home for I Don't Do Boxes and the editorial meetings as well. Hello, George. Good to have you here.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Ben, tell us a little bit about I Don't Do Boxes. How did it get started?
Well, it started really out of, I guess, seeing a need that there needed to be a place for LGBTQ folks in the South to have a voice because, you know, I feel like kind of the predominant narrative in the media of LGBTQ discourses tends to focus a lot on the big cities, New York, San Francisco, Chicago, and, you know, I think that this publication is important to say that, no, all of our experiences are not like that. We all come from very, very different contexts. And
yeah, and that raises questions about, I mean, and you said a voice, and of course you have a magazine, so I know what you mean. But Guido, when you talk about a voice, it's precisely that there are many voices, I think, that you've assembled to address. Is that right?
Exactly. Just like the whole LGBTQIA plus spectrum is huge. There's a wide range of you know, sexual orientations and gender conformity. There's also this huge age range. And so we want to focus on specifically the youth in the South, not only getting the magazines in their hands, but getting their voices, you know, out there. It's a great opportunity to get work published.
And you can also critique ideas and essays that are abroad within the LGBT community as well, as you did in your essay, Is Better Good Enough, right? Tell us about that.
Right. So it's a piece that essentially explains my experience with, you know, It Gets Better. In high school, I was approached by my guidance counselor to shoot a video telling the younger students that it gets better, and I refused to because my life in the closet, I didn't know that to be true. And eventually I found out, you know, that it's not true. So it goes from a personal perspective to it transitions into me asking my audience to take action.
Can you read a little bit for us?
Yes,
from the essay?
I would love to. All right, so this is piece is titled, Will Better Ever Be Good Enough? As my new home welcomed me, I conceived my closet afterlife. For once, I was proud of who I was. Even with all the frat stars at the bar staring and laughing at my outfits, or friends and family asking, Guido, what the hell are you wearing? I was ecstatic to constantly fly my freak flag, not only for myself, but others. I know that if my contemporaries see how comfortable I am in my own skin, they will surely follow suit. There was no doubt that life got better with a capital B after all the suffering. If there's rain, eventually the sun will come out, right? Makes sense. With this realization, I began exploring the boundaries of my new queer life and sharing experiences with others. I met many queers and gender nonconforming individuals who told me stories of being threatened with physical and verbal violence for simply being themselves. Suddenly, boys' clothes and all the trivial worries began to matter less as I processed my observations and began asking myself, is better really good enough for me? Most importantly, is better good enough for anyone? No matter how satisfied wherever we are on our journeys, we must fight. It is our duty to fight. We must educate everyone we cross paths with on our ever-changing LGBTQIA plus literacy. Our comfortable capitalist American society is and will always continue to erode minorities' equality and liberation in order to reinforce our white supremacy mountain. There's no doubt that most people don't mean harm with our visible misogyny at the source of our homophobia, but it's damn near time to start challenging our conditioned beliefs. Silence is just as dangerous as consent. Better doesn't suffice. We need to bring this to light into every space we sachet in. It is our duty to free Nicole Hernandez Polanco, to remember Blake Brockington, Penny Proud, Lamia Beard, Ty Underwood, Yasmin Vash Payne, or Taja De Jesus, to fight for our rights, and speak up and educate when we see discrimination of any kind. especially if any of our brothers or sisters targeted fall under our umbrella term of a family. It is our duty to make our lifestyle part of the status quo. I hope this message resonates with you as you flip through the pages and digest our content. It is our duty to act out.
Thank you. Guido Viable Portel, reading from an article titled "Is Better Good Enough?" published in Greensboro in the magazine I Don't Do Boxes. You'd clearly been thinking about this. What was it like for you to actually get this written and then published? Did anything change for you, the act of actually getting it out on paper?
No, it was actually pretty cathartic to just sit down and write it out in one sitting.
Any kind of response that you've gotten?
Well, it actually has not been published yet. The only people that have read it have been my closest friends and the editorial team. And so far, you know, they say that it's great.
It's going to make the paper, so you've got it anyway. Right. You're going to be published. Babette, you're exactly. Part of that editorial process. Tell us about the process.
Essentially, we are taking submissions until May 1st. So we don't really have much to do as far as, you know, editing. So our focus right now is mainly outreach, especially to the GSAs in Guilford County and Forsyth County, and also all of our connections around the world.
Babette, when you do gather and you take a piece like that, what's the process for vetting a piece, for editing? What kind of support, collaboration, advice do you give, or do you?
Well, as the team of editors, we kind of come together and read it through and kind of say, does this fit the theme? Because our theme for this issue is act out. It's all about protesting. It's all about like how we experience this world and how we sort of protest and kind of all of those things. And it's like so if the piece fits the theme, it's like after that we kind of just go over how will this be read, where can we place it, and all those sort of things. We get submissions from poetry to artwork. Last issue we had music and all sorts of things.
You're so relatively new to I Don't Do Boxes. What attracted you to this project?
Well, last year I was a part of Queer Lab, which is it goes right along with I Don't Do Boxes. It's some activities we do it every Wednesday at Elsewhere from 6 to 8. There's all different ones that are workshops, basically, that go along with the theme of the magazine. And so I stumbled upon one last year, and it was amazing. We went over LGBT history of North Carolina, and it was just so eye-opening to see what had happened even just here in the South. So I was like, I need to be a part of this. I really want to be a part of the editorial team. And so I came back this year, and I also started to intern at Elsewhere, and so that's how I got immersed in this project.
George Shear, Elsewhere is the home for this project. You helped found that project or that space. Tell us about Elsewhere.
Sure. Elsewhere is a unique spot. It's a living museum and residency set inside of a former thrift store that was, in fact, run by my grandmother from 1939 to 1997. And what is spectacular about it, we've been ongoing since 2003, but what has been spectacular about it is the plethora of things that demand meaning to be made, and the way that meanings and multiplicities of meanings through various objects and the histories of those objects allow for a lot of slippages that perhaps we wouldn't otherwise take note of in our material and social cultures. And so to develop a project like Queer Lab and I Don't Do Boxes inside of a space that is about practices of meaning making makes a lot of sense.
Tell us more about Queer Labs, how they got started.
Sure. The Queer Lab project began really with our education curator at the time, Christopher Kennedy, who was organizing and looking around and sort of seeing that the resources weren't there that he was looking for. Either resources for queer youth seemed too sexualized or were too much about sort of the normativity of dichotomous identities of gay and straight. And so he wanted to sort of design a program that would allow youth to come together, and I think most importantly, to come together in a creative fashion. And creativity is about sort of pushing against the frame. And there's perhaps nothing more inherently creative than struggling and challenging and exploring identity as a means for pushing against the frame.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, whether identity, the struggle with identity and exploring that, pushes against the frame. Guido eloquently explained the problem. It looks like there are a lot of laws on the books that are better today than they were 20 years ago for African-American communities, women, a number of political identities. And yet the critique is that the identity, that the discussion has shifted from politics to culture, that we've culturized politics, right, and politicized culture. Ben, let me put this first question to you. You know, what Guido says is, I'm not sure better is good enough. It's not really changing our lives. What's on the books doesn't get at the very structural things that cause this and continue to exploit our minority status as, namely, identity. Is the valence, is the discussion in the wrong place? Do we need to be talking about the very political and economic questions that Guido raises in his essay?
I would definitely agree with the questions that Guido raises in the essay. And, you know, I do think that this idea that we're making so much progress is very, it's very tempting to buy into that. But I think that it's definitely very wrong-minded in a lot of ways. You know, just because, you know, same-sex marriage is on the books, just because, you know, LGBTQ folks can now participate in the military, so what? Like, we're still, you know, committing suicide. We're still having all of these sort of systems that we're not being able to access that weren't really created for us. And I think the same is true for Black Americans, for women as well, you know, with all of the police violence against Black communities across the country and with all of the terrible legislations, you know, against abortion popping up all over the country. It seems that progress is really not what we're experiencing.
No, there's a bit of an illusion happening. And Guido, you, I think, put a finger on it. But what do you do? On the one hand, it would seem to me you don't want to sacrifice the power that comes from recognizing an identity, from working together as an identity, making the discoveries that Babette talked about, things I didn't know because we came together as a community, and therefore identifying as a community and going as a community to a legislature. On the other hand, not losing sight of the real prize, which is the structural inequality built into our political economy, not about the identities. How do you bridge that? How do you not sacrifice the one to get at the other that you so eloquently described?
Visibility is the first step to liberation. So it's great that, you know, we were getting our voices out there and we're slowly but surely being represented by the media and, you know, Congress and all of these, you know, corners of the country. But at the same time, visibility is not enough. Therefore, we must act out. We must put our personalities, our experiences out there in order to make our lifestyle, you know, normal.
And Ben, that includes not only writing, but there's art as well. Can you describe some of the other contributions?
Well, I think we're trying to solicit a lot more multimedia production this time around. We haven't really, that's kind of still in the initial stages. It's really been very much focused on writing, but we very much want to incorporate more alternative sources of media rather than just writing and drawing. And so,
great project. Thank you all for being a part of it. Thank Elsewhere for providing the space, and thank you all for being on the program. Ben Fisher is an editor for I Don't Do Boxes magazine. Guido Viable-Portel and Babette Yaga are also part of the editorial staff. George Scheer, co-founder and director of Elsewhere, a museum and workspace that is the home for I Don't Do Boxes and for their editorial meetings. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you so much for being on the program. And thank you for listening to The State of Things. It is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Robin Copley is our technical director. El Budarsky helped out today. Jess Clark is our intern. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio. Once again, here is The Genuine. They're going to perform a song called The Spark, and you can catch them this weekend at FuzzFest in Winston-Salem. Ladies and gentlemen, The Genuine.
travel the rivers and roads, long dirt paths, whiskey holes. Taught me near everything known, how to lose my love or live on my own. House in autumn, feel waiting for something to light me up. I've been living in the dark, giving up before I start. Something's got a spark. Oh, 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 oh. I've been living with the sin, giving up but giving in. Something's got a wing. Oh, 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 oh. I've been living in the dark, giving up before I start. Something's got a spark. Oh, 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 oh. I've been living with the sin, giving up or giving in. Something's gotta win. Oh, 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 oh.
Tired of mirrors and smoke, the wired eyes and periscopes. I weather the seasons below, I fire back the falling snow. How's an autumn feel waiting for something to light me up?
I've been living in the dark, giving up before I start. Something's got a spark. Oh, 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 oh. I've been living with the sin, giving up or giving in. Something's got a win. Oh, 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 I've been living in the dark, giving up before I start. Something's got a spark. Ooh, I've been living with the sin, giving up or giving in. Something's got a win. Oh, oh, oh. I've been living in the dark, giving up before I start. Something's got a spark.
Something's got a spark.
I've been living. Giving up or giving in. Something's got a win.
Something's got a win.
I've been living in the dark, giving up before I start. Something's got a spark. Ooh, I've been living with the sin, giving up or giving in. Something's got a win. Whoa, oh, oh.